Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 7 minutes past the hour of nine. You are listening to Radio Islam International. And shortly we'll be speaking to Maulana Ibrahim Bab. And the topic this morning is redeem yourself. And the reason why we have chosen, to speak about this is because this is the last Thursday in the month of Ramadan. And it's appropriate for us to touch on such topics to shed some light on the aspect of changing our lives. And it's still not too late. It's still not too late to mend our ways and to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the topic this morning is redeem yourself. And the SMS line to the program is 48855. That's 48855. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio number is 072-786-1548. Or the landline 011-854-1548. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. 9:14, you are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International, and this morning we are discussing an important aspect of our lives, and that is redeem yourself. And it's still not too late. There reaches a stage in our life where we have to realize that we need to pick ourselves up and we need to bring the change within our lives, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still waiting with open arms. And that is why we want to maximize on these last few days as we are going into the closure of Ramadan. Walala, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam.
How are you doing, Walala?
Alhamdulillah, Allah has been very, very kind upon us. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Walala, as I alluded to the topic, Walala, inshallah, we can start with the program.
Yes, Mon, I think there are certain times and certain occasions, certain places where it is an ideal time for us to reflect and rethink about our situation. Allah had favored me, not that I deserved it, in fact, least deserving, with regard to traveling to the Haramain in the last, and I couldn't make it for the last program. And in there there was, I remember and recall, this time I looked for it, I couldn't find it, but I remember that was it the previous year or the year before that, there was a most beautiful caption and a billboard that was in Madinah Munawwara saying that is the city of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not the ideal place for you to quit smoking. And it just caught my attention, and I said, subhanallah, how beautifully put. There is no doubt people can talk about the legalities of smoking, whether it is haram or makruh, but no one can deny the fact that it is of no benefit, and it is extremely harmful spiritually, physically, health-wise and otherwise. And just look at how the billboard put it, is the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not an ideal place for you to quit smoking. And if you look at it, taking that same type of metaphor and taking that same example, you want to say, is the holy and blessed month of Ramadan not the time for you to rethink your life and for you to start thinking anew and afresh with regard to our life and with regard to coming back again on the right path?
That's an interesting way to start off the program, and it is still not too late. And Morana, when it's time to change, we look for shelter, we look for belonging, we look for security, and all these are provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent that the hadith mentions, which is hadith al-Qudsi, that if your sins were to reach the foam of the ocean, or if your sins had to reach the skies, and then you were to turn to me, I would forgive you. So,
there is no doubt whatsoever, and that is, I've always said that the beginning stages of any change has to be with tawbah, has to be that you look at your life and. There is a hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was asked, "Mal iman, what is iman?" And he said, "When your good deeds please you and when your evil deeds cause you pain and anguish, and that is iman." So when you start afresh and when you want to start your life again, you got to start from tawbah. During the course of the program, inshallah, as we go along, one, I would like to quote Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi, who has so beautifully said that how there are four ways in which you can correct yourself. Four methods of reformation which Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has made mention. Inshallah, we will try and speak about that towards the end. But let me also start off from a very amazing thing. And I want all the listeners, if they listen to the other part of the program or not, listen to this aspect. is during the course of traveling, there was a small book that was there about the many favors of Allah Ta'ala with regard to his forgiveness. And in there is this incident that says, when you make an intention of Tawbah, how much barakah and blessings there is. So let me put that forward to all the listeners who are listening, that make an intention that you want to repent for the wrongs that you have done. Now, when you repent for the wrong, sometimes we do so out of indifference to continue with our wrong. And it's a normal human trait. But let me just get the bad and what I've done previously out of my way so that I can start afresh to do wrong again. But that's not the way. We must be a genuine regret over what you have done. But once you make an intention, I want to repent, I'll give you an example of how blessed it is. And also, I would like to maybe also, before I go start over the event and start off by speaking about the incident, let me also ask the listeners that if there is anyone who has found Ramadan to be a means of reformation, whether it be now, whether it be in the past, earlier in the morning in the program, Mawlana Suleiman Rawat did, I think, ask a very similar type of question with regard to how has Ramadan changed you, at least this Ramadan. And I recall listening to one of the responses was that for the very first time, because of Radio Islam, he was able to perform all his Taraweeh Salat and prayers. So I don't know if there are any listeners who are out there who want to share the aspects of how the reformation has happened to them or how they have changed for the better in any Ramadan, whether it be this or previous Ramadan. I think it would be something that it would not only be good for you to share it, but other people will benefit. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, says Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran, whatever ni'mat Allah Ta'ala favors upon you, فَحَدِّثْ, make mention of it. And all I have said is a fine line between relating the favors of Allah upon you and boasting and arrogance and being proud about what you have achieved. But there is one aspect of being proud which is wrong. So when you make mention of your achievements, you will be proud, that is wrong. But on the other hand, when you speak about your favors and you relate it with the intention that I am showing Allah Ta'ala's favors upon me, it is a good thing. So we would appeal to the listeners to do that. Can I carry on while you have something to say?
Yes, you can continue, Murad.
Right. Now, I would like to start off by saying, what happens when you make an intention of Tawbah? Tafsir of Kabir, Imam Razi Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of it. I heard it many times from Mawlana Shah Mulak Thanvi. And when I pick up the small book from one of the bookshops in the Haramain, and it was even mentioned there in Arabic, it was the incident of Anushirwan, who was a very just ruler. And the just ruler went out for hunting. And when he went out for hunting, he one day got away from his entourage. And when he got away from his entourage, he got lost. When he got lost, he somehow or the other got into a remarkable, beautiful orchard. And he came into that orchard, and the person who was taking and looking after the orchard, and he told him, didn't tell him that he didn't disclose that he is a king, and he said that I am gone lost, give me refuge and shelter. And he was given refuge and shelter, and he saw the orchard and he said, I am very extremely thirsty. That was an orchard of pomegranate trees. And he said, give me a glass of the juice of the trees. And the person who was there took out a glass of the juice and he presented it to the king, unknowing to him that he was a king. And Nushirwa drank the juice, and he never ever had something as sweet as what he had now tasted. And it came into his mind that I am the king of this area, and an orchard of this magnitude and beauty has escaped me. Perhaps as the king I should forcibly take it away from this person. Such a beautiful orchard with such beautiful fruits and such great juice. And he had this intention. And then as he had that intention, he said, give me another glass of juice. So beautiful juice. And then when he asked for another glass of juice, this time when it came, it was extremely bitter. It was not as sweet as what was the first glass. And Nushirwa was amazed and he said, what has happened? The first glass was so sweet and look at this glass. Where did you pick this? Is it from a different farm? He said, no, it is from the same tree, in fact, the same branch.
So
he said, what had happened? So the person who was in charge of the orchard was a very pious person, and he said, it seems that the king of our land has made an intention of zulm and oppression. The king of the land has made an intention of oppression, and that intention of oppression has impacted even upon the fruit trees. So the king was taken aback. He was completely taken aback by this. And he said, has Allah placed such great responsibility? Now, away from the broader aspect, that when people of leadership, when their conduct is not good, then it impacts upon the entire country. We are seeing it in many places in the world, and perhaps even in our own country. That when leadership, people in leadership are corrupt, it impacts upon the people on the ground. In fact, it impacts even upon the fruit trees. So the king was taken aback that I made an intention of wrong and oppression, and this is what had happened. He immediately made tawbah.
Subhanallah.
And when he made tawbah, he said, I will never do such a thing. I desist from my intention. And then as he was going to go and fetch his right road, he said, now that I'm departing, give me another glass of juice.
Allah.
And he brought him another glass of juice. And this time it was even sweeter than the first one.
Allah.
So he asked the gardener, what has happened? Why are you, there's three different situations. Why is this time even more sweeter? And the gardener said, it seems that the king has repented.
Allahu Akbar.
So, to start off the program, to say that when you make an intention of repentance, this is the impact that it has upon your life, the life of many other people.
Yes, we are speaking about redeeming yourself, and just before the ad break, we were speaking of the importance and the impact of intention when repenting. And Morala also reminds us of the story of the person who killed 99 people and was on the verge of making tawbah, and he passed away, but the intention was there, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him.
Yes, Morala, that's what we are saying, that if we have to start off as a reformation, that will be the beginning point of any reformation, is to start afresh by making... Now, obviously, when we do get into any type of discussion with regard to tawbah, people will speak about the various aspects and the various conditions with regard to tawbah, which, of course, are important. I don't want to in any way undermine or regard it to be trivial. And, of course, we know that the first aspect would be regret. And that would be the very essence of tawbah, to regret your wrongdoing that you have done in the past. And there should be a genuine regret. If there is a real genuine regret, then halfway you are through with tawbah. And the second aspect, which many a times people do put a lot of emphasis upon, but I think I just need to put it also in perspective. And many a times when people do speak about tawbah, they said that they should be a resolve not to commit the wrong again. Right? And they say part and parcel of the conditions of tawbah is that you should not do the guna again. But it's not actually not doing the guna again for your tawbah to be valid. The ulama have written is that you must have a firm resolve at the time of your dua that you are not going to do the guna again. So there's a great difference between the resolve and the relapse into the sin and the act of relapsing the sin into the sin itself. At the time of tawbah, if your resolve is 100%, then tawbah will, inshallah, be accepted. If you relapse, that's a different matter. So the relapse does not invalidate the original tawbah. And I think it's a very amazing and a very important thing for us to remember this. And one of our saints have said, if shaitan does not stop from leading people astray, why should we stop from repenting? If Allah does not tire from forgiving, why should we tire from asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness? And some ulama, I've heard people saying that Hakim Akhtar used to refer to this example and used to say that tawbah is like the wipers on the car. And as the rain comes, the wiper wipes away the previous rain that had settled upon the windscreen. And thereafter, when the new rain comes, the wiper wipes it off again. And that is perhaps one of the examples of Tawbah. Of course, we also need to guard against becoming complacent with regard to sin, but I'm just trying to make the point between resolving and relapsing. The condition for Tawbah is to resolve. And if there is a relapse, it does not invalidate the original resolve.
Interesting indeed. Emrana, speaking about Tawbah, the most important thing to consider here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not judge a person. And the reason why we say this, Murana, sometimes a person thinks that, you know, I'm so finished, man. I've got so much of sins in my life. Where is Allah going to forgive me? Where is He going to come to my rescue? I've done so much of wrong in every possible way. I think I'm the last person that Allah will look at.
Yes, our ulama have made mention that there are two ways that shaitan misleads people. And one is that he misleads people by saying that, let me start off by saying, one way shaitan misleads people is this, that Allah is very forgiving, so continue making guna. Right, so that is one of the deceptions of shaitan, that Allah is forgiving, so let me continue doing wrong. Now that is also a deception. It's a very big deception. Is that Allah is forgiving, therefore, and I'm just trying to think, Mahana, it's like saying to a person, this person is so good, he's such a nice person, he's such a good-natured person, and let's go and take advantage of him. Now, you know, can you imagine such a type of understanding? Allah is very forgiving, so because of Allah's forgiveness, go and make guna. Hey Allah, is that the way you reward Allah's forgiveness? Subhanallah. You know, our ulama have given this example. I read in the Hazrat Shaykh Hamdul Ali's Fazail al-Sadaqat. It said that Tawbah is like a very good balm and a very good medicine that cures burn wounds. Right? So can you imagine a person taking and going into a braai with all his friends and the family members, and he confidently comes to the braai fire and he says, I'm going to put my hand into the fire. People say, you're stupid, are you crazy? You're going to burn. He says, no, don't worry. I got a very good balm. I got a very good medicine that cures burns. So what will the people tell him? Yes, that medicine might be good, but that medicine is good if perchance you burn. That's the time you use it. You don't go and deliberately put your hand into the fire and said, I got a very good balm, let me go put my hand, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and put your hand into the fire. That is foolish. People will all laugh at you and people will comment on your foolishness. In a similar way, one is due to human weakness, you get involved in sin, then you ask Allah for forgiveness. Not that Allah is forgiving, therefore I must commit sin. That example is like a person who puts his hand deliberately into the fire because he's got a good ointment that cures burn wounds. Everyone will say that is foolish. In a similar way, it is foolish to commit guna with the intention that Allah is forgiving. There is one way shaitan misleads people. And the other way he misleads people is, I am so gunagar, I am such a great sinner, where will Allah forgive me my sins? And this is something that we have to stay away from, because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. All those who have done wrong unto their soul by committing sins, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. He forgives all sins provided you are sincere in your repentance.
Allahu Akbar. 0118541548. Alternatively, the studio WhatsApp number is 0727861548 or 48855. You can interact with us, inshallah, on all those platforms. But now, speaking about the aspect of Tawbah, I don't know if you want to start with Imam Ghazali's four advisors. You've got about 20 minutes left.
Yes, Mohan, I think maybe let's just to stay with, maybe if that particular aspect of Reformation, we can even continue with that. But I think people need to understand this particular aspect of how to get the right balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, also, there is this very beautiful poem that has been quoted on behalf of Imam Zainul Abidin. It is said about Imam Asma'i, rahmatullahi, was once in the Haram, and he heard someone saying these very beautiful poems and very beautiful poems.
We've got a caller before we go to the poem. Let's go to the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ji, brother, you live on here.
Brother, can you hear me?
Ji.
What I want to find out is a person who wants to make dua and a person feel that is unjust and unfair to the next person. And the person that the victim feels oppressed and feels that people just used him. How will his dua be accepted?
Just repeat the question again.
You know, somebody wants to make a dua.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the person has been unjust and unfair to somebody else.
Mm.
And also, that person feels oppressed or feels that, you know, he's been sort of just been used or victimized. How will that person make dua?
So the person who has been an oppressor?
Yes. Okay. That's what I'm talking about, right. Yes.
Okay.
How will Allah accept his dua?
Okay, inshallah, good question, very good question. It was something that I was going to bring up as to one of the conditions of Tawbah is also talafi and ma'afat, is to undo the wrong that has been done previously. Now, for example, if a person has...
Mulana, before you go into the answer, can you take one more call and maybe wait in also? Okay, right. Sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, sister. Oops. Okay, she can call us back, 011-854-1548. Mulana, you are speaking talafi and ma'afat?
Yes. One of the conditions of Tawbah is to address the wrongs that have been done previously. Now, for example, if we have stolen 10,000 rand from someone, now no matter how much you sit in that musalla asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, until you don't go and return the 10,000 rand back to the person who has done you wrong, then the person whom you have wronged, from the conditions of Tawbah, which our ulama have mentioned, your Tawbah won't be accepted. If Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive you beyond that, Allah has got the capacity, remember that. But in terms of the legalities and the conditions, you are supposed to give the 10,000 rand back. So go and give that back and then ask Allah Ta'ala. And for example, if someone has done someone wrong, then our ulama have mentioned that one way of asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness is this way, that you ask for forgiveness for the person whom you have wronged. Oh Allah, forgive him. Forgive the person whom I have done wrong to. Or for example, you say, Allahumma inna laka alayya hukukan kathira fima bayni wa baynak wa hukukan kathiran fima bayni wa bayna khalqik. Oh Allah, there are different wrongs that I have done between you and I, between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and between me and other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, the wrong that is between you and I, between you, between myself and Allah, oh Allah, you forgive it because you are forgiving, you love forgiveness. And the wrong that I have done to other people, Ya Allah, let me redress that wrong or put it in their hearts to forgive me, or you, on the day of Qiyamah, you settle it on my behalf with that person. So that is the way to make dua for the person who has wronged someone. But if it is a tangible thing that he can go and give it, and he must ask for Allah Ta'ala, he must ask the person for forgiveness.
Subhanallah. Imran, the oppressor?
That's what the oppressor must ask for going redress the wrong, which is, of course, that is what I'm saying.
So sometimes the oppressed person has passed on.
Then he must make dua and maghfirat for him. He must make dua and maghfirat for him and read as much as possible and make his salat sawab for him. Maybe, inshallah, most likely that person is forgiven on the day of Qiyamah, he won't take you to task.
Inshallah.
He will say, I'm in Jannah, why should I prevent someone in Jannah? Once a person is in Jannah, he will be the most generous and accommodating. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ says Allah in the Holy Quran, that a person who is in Jannah, he will bear no grudge whatsoever to anyone. No matter what grudge you had in this world, there will be no grudge that you will have on the Day of Judgment.
Mm.
So a person once he is forgiven by Allah, he becomes very, very accommodating. So once he is forgiven, you make dua for his forgiveness, inshallah he won't take you to task with regard to what the wrong that you have done. So make dua for him, read as much and make isal sawab for him.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it requires a lot of courage. And it requires a lot of courage from a person to acknowledge that he has done wrong to another person. Normally, most of the time we offer different types of excuses to get away from the fact that we have wronged someone. No, he was like that and he was like that, therefore I did this. And for example, in inheritance, people use different types of masail to get away from the fact that you had done someone down. But you know, it was like this and it was like that. And you knew deep down, you might be having a doubt, but you're not prepared to acknowledge and cede that, no, this is what I have done wrong. But if you do it, then you have to ask for forgiveness.
Indeed. Murad, also the other thing is that after making Tawbah, to have good hopes with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He'll forgive you. Because I think that's
definitely
also
one of the most important things is, you know, Mufti Taqi Sahib quotes this very beautiful Urdu poem, Dolate mil gayi hai aahoki, aisi taisi mere gunaho ki. Once you start, one of the aspects with regard to Tawbah is to show regret and to cry over your wrongs. And he said that once you've got the wealth of tears crying over the wrongs that you have done, aisi taisi mere gunaho ki, it destroys the guna and sins that you have committed. And of course, we have to have this hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, as I said, this heart, Imam Asma'i rahmatullah alayhi was in the haram. It was dark. Of course, that time there was not so, you know, the haram was not so brightly lit as we see in today's time. We don't find those aspects of darkness. And he heard a person singing certain or reading certain ashar and poetry in front of the haram. And it was very, very touching. And the ulama have made mention of it, and you will find it almost for a page. But I'll just give you one or two in the beginning. And he said, Ya may yujibu dua al mudhtarri fi zalami, wa ya kashif al dhur, wal balwa ma'a saqami. O the one who responds to the dua of the person who is distressed in the darkness, and the one who removes the difficulty from people who have this distress. And part of it goes on to say, إن كان جودك لا يرجو ذو سفه فمن يجود على العاسين بالكرم. If, O Allah, your forgiveness does not inspire hope in the sinners, and O Allah, if your forgiveness is such that we who are sinners don't have hope for, then فمن يجود على العاسين بالكرم, then who would the sinners be able to turn towards besides you, O Allah, if you do not show us who are sinners, you know, this particular type of forgiveness and mercy? And as, you know, you'll see as you're going towards the Rozae Mubarak, we also hope for the intercession of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as you are going towards the Roza on the left-hand side, a letter in brass is this beautiful hadith, Shafa'ati لأهل الكبائر من أمتي. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my intercession would be, inshallah, for those people who have done major sins from amongst my ummah. So we hope that the intercession, Allah Ta'ala's mercy, our crying, our regret will become the means of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala forgiving us. And of course, we have every right to be able to have hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala.
Interesting indeed. Mura, would we like to now discuss?
Yeah, let me just make one or two mentions with regard to the forgiveness. Mura, while we are at it, now we have to leave the people with some more hope. I think they say normally that when a person is towards the beginning of something, then he must have more fear. Towards the end, you must have more hope. So we're coming towards the end of Ramadan, let us have more hope. Even in Tafsir al-Kabir, the very same incident that I've made mention of previously is also made mention in Tafsir al-Kabir. The incident of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, very amazing incident. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, can I continue, Mawlana? Any messages, anything of that sort?
There are messages, we'll take it after this, inshallah.
Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's very amazing incident. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was one day going, and as he was going towards a place, he passed by a qabr. And Allah Ta'ala had revealed certain things to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So he perceived, and Allah Ta'ala showed him that an inmate of a particular qabr and grave was receiving punishment from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was very taken aback and made dua for the person, but he continued in his path. And on his way back, the very same grave as he passed, he saw that, and Allah Ta'ala showed him that the inmate of the qabr who was previously been punished was showered with mercy and forgiveness from Almighty Allah, and Allah Ta'ala had forgiven him for whatever had happened. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Almighty Allah, Allah, this person was receiving punishment and you showed me the punishment, and now on my way back, coming back from the very same place, you showed me that this person is now no more, you know, the object of your wrath and anger, and Allah, you had forgiven him. What is the reason? So Tafsir al-Kabir, Imam Razi rahmatullahi writes that Allah Ta'ala revealed upon Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and said, O Isa, this person, when he died, he left his wife pregnant. And the child was born after he had passed on. So the matters continued until now. The child is at an age where it could read the Holy Quran, or it could read. So the wife took it to the religious scholar. And when he took it to the religious scholar made it read, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most forgiving, the most merciful. And Isa, I felt it against my forgiveness. I felt it against my quality of forgiving, that I punish a person when his small child is invoking my mercy. Isa, I felt it against my mercy, that I must punish a person when his small child is invoking my mercy. Therefore, Isa, I have forgiven him. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with mercy and forgiveness to people. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's incident is mentioned in many, many books, that when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam one day wanted to make dua for rain because there was drought, so he made the dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, there's a person in your gathering who has committed such sin. He knows the sin that he has committed. Until he doesn't leave the gathering, I will not send down rain. You know, and while he was making this dua, then Musa alayhi salam made the announcement to the people. Allah has revealed to me. I am the Nabi of Allah. I am Kalimullah. Allah has told me there is one person. He knows the guna that he has committed. Until he doesn't leave the gathering, Allah won't send down rain. So let him leave the gathering so that Allah can shower his mercy and forgiveness upon the entire creation. Let him not be a barrier for Allah Ta'ala's mercy coming down upon people. And that person said, Ya Allah, if I leave the gathering now, all of the people will look upon me as a sinner. Well, this is a person. You know, a human being are curious, whether it be in this ummah or this generation or this civilization or in previous civilizations. This is a person who prevented rain coming down. Until he didn't leave, Allah didn't send down rain. And in his heart, he made tremendous tawbah. Ya Allah, I will not do this wrong again. Oh Allah, I will not do this wrong. He must have made with such sincerity. Allah Ta'ala send down rain. If Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is astounded. Ya Allah, you said you're not going to send down rain until he does not leave the gathering. No one left the gathering, and oh Allah, you send down rain. And Allah Ta'ala said, Oh Musa, that person who was the person who, because of whom rain was being prevented, he made tawbah. And I accepted his tawbah. Mm-hmm. And when he made this, then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Oh Allah, who was that person? And what was his guna? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reply was so great. Oh Musa, when he was a sinner, I did not reveal his faults. After he made tawbah, how do you expect me to reveal his faults? Oh Musa, when he was a sinner, I had concealed his faults. And now, when he has made tawbah, how do you expect? So that is the mercy of Allah that we are dealing with. Obviously, I always say that it must always be. At the same time, Allah also tells us in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَعْمُونَ. We must never ever regard ourselves safe from the punishment of Allah. That is also on its place. But we also have every right to feel entitled. Or feel, I won't say entitled, entitled is not the right word, it's the wrong word. We also have, aspects of trying to have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Allah Ta'ala is the one, and the dua that we read for the Laylatul Qadr, Allahumma innaka afoon, kareemun, raheemun, tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you are forgiving, you are merciful, you are kind, you love forgiveness, you love forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive us.
Yes, we all need to have hope. Fudayl ibn Ayaz was a robber before he became Rahimahullah. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was involved in music and women before he became the muhaddith of his time. And many people, as they say, Marana, every saint had a past and every sinner has a future, Marana.
Definitely. Every saint has a past and every sinner. In fact, anyone who starts off and makes tawbah, and how someone has very beautifully said, your past might be tainted, but your future is spotless.
Allahu Akbar.
You know, your past might be tainted, you have committed many guna, but your future is free from guna. Your future is free from sins. You want to start off from there, you can start off from there.
Subhanallah. Well, Imam Ghazali abhi tak baki hai.
Imam Ghazali baki hai. Any other messages you want to go tomorrow, when we can start off?
Okay, Mara. This one reads, just one second. You knock, he opens. You attend, he welcomes. You ask, he gives. You sin, he forgives. You repent, he forgets. He is Allah. The next one is a very lengthy message, Murana. It's about reformation, how this person changed. I'll just read it out quickly. Assalamu alaikum. I keep bumping into pious people. I feel I am nowhere near them. I want to be like them. I started Tahajjud Salah 2 months ago. I make khatam of Qur'ans. Alhamdulillah, I pray a lot. I still feel it's not good enough. Tahajjud has become part of my life. Radio Islam has a great effect on me. Wherever I go, I hear recitation of the Quran in people's homes. Brings a shiver in my spine. 20 years ago, wherever I went, Radio Lotus was blaring in everyone's houses, shops and cars. I myself couldn't start my day without the music. Allah bless the Muslims like me to be on the straight path. I have thrown all the movies music out of my home. My Mulana says I have Noor in my home. To the staff of Radio Islam, all the Muftis and all the Mulanas involved in presenting the Bayans, remember you are highly appreciated. Allah reward you in all both the worlds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. The Radio Islam grow from strength to strength. Ameen. And you make so much of mehnat, sleepless nights to educate the Ummah.
MashaAllah. Ya Allah. Allah Ta'ala reward the people who have started Radio Islam, and you know it has become part and parcel of many people's lives and part and parcel of many households. And who knew that when the Jamiat started off, and I can recall how that the great debate amongst the ulama with regard to the starting of the Radio Islam and the various concerns and apprehensions, and beyond those apprehensions today we are getting such messages. I wonder if those particular messages will validate the decision, but Allah knows. At the end of the day, Allah is the one who will judge. But I mean, there are many people whose Radio Islam has become part and parcel of their homes. This morning when the question was asked, how did Radio Islam impact upon your life, it was quite amazing to see how people have said with regard to how, I mean, even a person said, I never was a person who performed Tarawih on a regular basis, but the inspiration I received from Radio Islam became the means of me performing Tarawih on a regular basis this year. Subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala reward the founding people who had started this.
Well, 5 minutes, four things to cover with Imam Ghazali.
Yeah, well, we're going to start this. First of all, let me start by four. I was thinking that maybe even if we don't finish the four, we can start off by saying that maybe we will do. Well, let us start off by saying where do we, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of four things that are the means of reformation. Right, so one of the means of reformation, he says, is introspection. The second is friends. The third is what your enemies say with regard to you. Right? And the fourth is a spiritual master who guides you upon the right path. So Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali, when he speaks about reformation, speaks about these four aspects. Now maybe we can go into some sort of detail with regard to the four methods of reformation as mentioned by Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali. The first one is introspection. Now this is very important. How do you introspect with regard to your deeds? It is perhaps one of the most important things in a person's life. But the introspection must be thorough. You must introspect in your deeds with very, very great vigor. You know, someone is very, for example, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran speaks about the Battle of Uhud. And Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْتُمْ أَنَّا هَذَا. You know, the Sahaba were found to be asking one another, how did Allah change the situation? We were on the verge of victory. We were chasing the enemy away from the battlefield. And we were rejoicing as we were collecting what they were throwing down. And, you know, there's a certain degree of joy as you chase the enemy away in a battlefield who had come, you know, with zulm and oppression to come to, and with pride and arrogance and haughtiness, thinking that they would overcome, and they would overcome what had happened in the Battle of Badr, and here there was a joy, and they were chasing away, and how everything changed because of certain people not being adhering to what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, or for example, maybe not understanding the consequences, or understanding the seriousness of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement and misunderstanding it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you ask, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Look at your own self.
Allah.
So whenever there is a defeat, whenever there is a setback, whenever there is anything, whenever you want to reform, you start off by introspection. And that will come about because of a very heightened sense of consciousness. And what is consciousness? You know, consciousness is a restrictive or prohibitive principle which opposes the animal instinct in human nature. You know, someone has said very beautifully, small inner voice that does not speak your language.
Exactly.
So if you want to reform, you have to start off. you know, and if you want to give an example with regard to a strong conscience, then you can give the example of Handala radiallahu ta'ala anha. Handala radiallahu ta'ala anha was one day sitting in his room and in his house, and his thought came that I'm sitting here and I don't have the heightened sense of spirituality that I have in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, are two different states of minds. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam situation, I'm different. Now I'm different. That means I'm a munafiq. I don't have the same sense of spirituality in two occasions. That means I'm wrong. And he went away and said, Nafaqa Handala. Handala had become a munafiq. He met Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on the road and said, and he was saying, Nafaqa Handala. Handala has become a munafiq. Abu Bakr said, oh, Handala, you are not a munafiq. You are a true believer. What you are saying? And he explained his situation. Abu Bakr said, I'm also in the same situation. When I'm with my wife and kids and in my relaxed atmosphere, I tend not to be in that same state of spirituality that I am with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they both went to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard them out and said, no, this is not munafiqat. This is not hypocrisy. There is a time for this and there is a time for that. Obviously, the spirituality that you have in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can't have that same state of spirituality in your homes. It is not munafiqat. It is a natural state that comes with a human being in his different situations and circumstances in life. Now that is consciousness. You know, a person who commits sin may escape worldly censure, but his guilt keeps on bothering him, creating restlessness and anxiety in his inner self, which many a times he cannot ignore. And if you want to reform yourself, then one of the first steps, says Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, is to introspect and to awaken the conscience in you to be able to reform.
Ya Allah, that's so thought-provoking. We'll have to continue this discussion in the next program, inshallah.
Inshallah,
Barakallah.
Give us something that you don't have to start messaging the night before. Kya karna hai?
MashaAllah, we'll do some introspection for the next few days.
Okay, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.